Welcome back to Diary of a Reality Competition Podcast Contestant. I'm Alex Albisu, in for Brian Ibbett, getting to know the contestants of Season 2 a little better. And today, we're talking to TV's Travis. Let's do it. If you're up to date on the latest episode of America's Next Top Podcaster, you know that Travis was just let go, and it's very sad because I know Travis personally. I've gotten to know him a bit since season one, and we talk a little bit about his experience on this show lately. We talk about what it was like being in the show as a former listener of the show when he was listening back in season one. We also talk about his aspirations as a newer podcaster and how he's bringing the feedback from this show into his own. Here's my conversation with TV's Travis. Travis Crawford, aka TV's Travis. What's going on, man? Hey, good morning to you. Thanks for being on the show.
Good morning.
And good morning. I'm sorry to see you go from the show.
Well, you know, I'm bummed that I'm having to go, but it's been such a good experience for me to just get into this in the first place. So
yeah,
it's always a bummer to go, but I'm really glad for the time that I got while I was here.
Yeah, I was really proud to hear that you had gotten on the show. I gotten to know you a bit in between seasons one and two, and it's just a pleasure to see you on the show and get accepted into it. So kudos on that. I think that's really exciting. But here you are on the other end of it. So how are you feeling overall? I mean, it sounds like this was a great experience, but are you happy to have a little bit of time back in your week?
Oh boy. I tell you what, I am happy for that. That's, if there's a positive to take from it, it's that I can actually get some things done that I needed to. But you know, it's that double-edged sword. Like I found this week, it's felt weird for, you know, however many weeks now, 7 or 8 weeks, it's been go, go, go. And, you know, I was missing that time to meet with Tom and the time to meet with the team and that kind of time crunch of like, we got to get something done. We got to get it done now. I've been missing that. So I'm adjusting back to not doing that, but I'm still, you know, I'm still chatting with people in Discord, which is always fun.
Yeah. It's a great community of ex-contestants in there, and you guys are having a lot of fun with other projects and stuff too, which is super fun to see.
Yes.
So why don't we talk a little bit about this past week's submission? So you got some pretty harsh criticism on the submission from some of the judges. What sort of ways are you taking that feedback now and putting that into your own show?
So the biggest thing was we didn't go deep enough. We didn't go hard enough at the concept. The way I took the feedback was the concept we had was solid. It just, we didn't do enough with it, whether it was because of time constraints or just a lack of full effort. And that's one of the things that I'm taking from this is all the criticism that I've gotten. I appreciate how it's always structured to be constructive criticism. And there's always like you did this fine, but here's how you can do it better. And so that's kind of the thing that I'm taking from it is like, I need to just, you know, I've dove into the pool, but I need to keep swimming and not just treading water.
That's a really good way of putting it. And I'm glad to hear you say, because this is something that I took away from season one. It's so important to take this feedback and not take it personally. It's not aimed at you as an individual person and your, you know, like anything like that. This is all criticism to make you better. That's something that Jerry and I always talked about. So, you know, you were a season one listener. Mm-hmm. This is exciting to have you on the show as a season two contestant. What was it like kind of being on the other end of the competition, actually like in the competition this time?
So I didn't have a full appreciation for, you know, the amount of time that was going to be spent working on everything. Because when you're a listener, and probably the judges to some extent, all you hear is the final result and maybe a little bit of like the coaching or a little bit of the lead up. But, you know, that's all pared down, that's edited down. So you don't get the full appreciation of just how much time and how much effort is going into each week, regardless of the end result. So, you know, that's something that I appreciate a lot more is, sure, your end result, you're not always going to hit, and it's going to sound some weeks are going to sound better than others, but the amount of preparation, the amount of time that went into it, research, and you know, then just the herding cats of like, you've got three or four other people and trying to coordinate all those schedules, and people might be traveling or they might have other things going on in their life. So it was just the amount of time and effort that goes into each week. I knew it was there, but I didn't fully appreciate how much of it was there until you're on that side of it.
Yeah. And, you know, for you as an up and coming podcaster, that's got to be, you've probably taken away a lot of really great technical tidbits, production tidbits. What do you think has been one of the biggest, you know, production takeaways in regards to podcasting?
I think for me, it I've gotten some just little things with editing that I wouldn't have thought of before. You know, Jenny brought up one thing, I think it was like week one or two, about just a simple little fade in or fade out on a cut in audio can help to, you're not always going to completely disguise it, and it's really going to still depend on your audio that you've recorded to begin with. But just a little thing like that can help to smooth out the edges and make it transition a little bit easier. And I'd never thought of that before. And so that was a big one. Just generally, like, I kind of threw myself into, I'm going to do a lot of the editing for this. So it helped to have that feedback and try to just get better with the editing. Cause my show that I do personally right now is a lot of, kind of live to tape. So I don't do a ton of editing to it, but, as I go forward and do more projects, some of those are going to involve a lot of editing. So I wanted to get better with that. I wanted to learn more about it. And also loudness was a big one. And I know Jenny talked about that a lot this season, of loudness and using things like Levelator or something to level all that out. And especially when you're doing something like this, where everybody's in different locations and you can't control everybody's microphone and recording environment, things like paying attention to loudness is even more important. So.
Oh man, that, and that whole like live to tape atmosphere, you have to have the sort of setup to do that, and it's challenging, man. People think it's just magic and it just happens. No, there's a lot of preparation that goes into it, and you can tell the products that really take the time to do that and the others that just kind of do it. You know what I mean? They don't really take the time to invest in whatever technology or whatever setup that they need in order to make something like that happen. So what's a tangible takeaway that you're taking into your show then? Like it sounds like you're going to be doing a bit more editing on your show. Is that right?
I probably will do a little bit more editing. I think the other really tangible thing for me was, the constant, kind of mantra of commit to the bit, which, you know, I sort of had that in my head from before, but it's like just reaffirming that and keeping up with whatever it is you're doing. And it doesn't always have to be a crazy bit, but like whatever lane you're in, stay with it, stick with it, and follow it through. Like don't give up halfway through, you know, really just dive in and do the thing that you're going to do, and do it to the best of your ability. So, you know, that's probably the biggest thing I'm taking away from it, is like staying true to yourself and committing to what you're trying to produce.
Yeah. I love this whole mantra that we're going with this year or this season around commit to the bit. I think it's brilliant. All right. So you are probably expecting this question because this is what I ask everybody. But, you know, now that we're at the end of the interview, we're at the end of the competition for you, you know, what has been the biggest surprise for you coming out of this competition?
Biggest surprise probably was the level of detail that the judges would go into. And, you know, I've heard the judging before, but just the, when you're on the other side of it, the feeling of the level that they go to is in terms of like, here's how you can be better. And I was surprised at how I felt the first couple of times I would get the judging. Because it is hard not to take it personally the first time, because you've put a week's worth of time into this thing, and then immediately it's three people that are coming in saying, look, it was okay, but here's all the things that were wrong with it. And so that the surprise of like getting that, but then quickly realizing, no, they're not judging me as a person. They're not judging me as a podcaster. They're judging the product that I put out there, and trying to help me to get it, you know, better. That surprised me a little bit, just kind of how that felt to be on that end of the judging.
Yeah. Yeah. I was going to ask you, like, do you have any tangible advice for anybody listening to this? And like, I want to be on season 3, but I'm afraid of taking advice and taking feedback and all that sort of stuff. But it sounds like you just gave a really good example of that. You know, you just have to kind of separate yourself from it. You don't necessarily.
You know, you're getting... Your product is getting judged, but you aren't getting judged, even when it sounds like you are. And that's the biggest thing to take away from it is, you know, the judges genuinely, I mean, you don't make it to this show without somebody thinking that you're worthwhile to be on here. So it, you know, at that point it is, well, what level, I don't know how to phrase it. What level are you at that stage? Like, you already have hit the top, you know, whatever it is, 10%. Now it's like figuring out where you sort in that final bit. Yeah. And it can feel like, oh, I didn't do great because I was, you know, the first or the second person off. But no, you're not the first or the second person off. You're number 95 or 96. That's no longer in out of 100, you know, whatever it is. So,
right. Love it. Love it. Great wisdom, man. Let's give you an opportunity to pimp your stuff because people should go check out your show. I was on your show at one point. So why don't you tell people about the projects that you're working on?
So the show that I do every week is called Wait, You Haven't Seen, which is a terrible name, but it's a fun show. It's movie reviews, but I focus the review around one person involved in it has never seen the movie we're reviewing before. And I try to do movies that are fairly well known. I had you on because you had never seen Die Hard.
I know. And everybody listening, calm down. I've seen it now. It's okay.
Exactly. But, you know, it's stuff like that. Fun movies, movies that maybe are fairly well known, but it's surprising that somebody hasn't seen it. I have a friend of mine who's never seen anything. So he is sort of the go-to to keep this thing going. But I have some other projects that I'm working on. I've got... some short stories that I'm converting into a script that I want to do kind of a radio play that I don't want to go into too much detail because it's kind of one of these things that I've been kicking around for a while now. And I really want to make it happen, but I'll give you the title for it. The title is just called Judas the Squirrel.
Oh, okay. All right.
And it's the elevator pitch that I've given before is... The Secret of NIMH meets like Sam Spade or Tracer Bullet.
Oh, cool. All right.
So that's something that I'm working on. I've talked to a couple of people involved in this season's competition about some projects we want to try working on. You keep doing the movie podcast. Gidget from season 1 has talked about having me come guest on her show. So I think that'd be a lot of fun. I have to figure out some 80s movies that I'd want to talk about.
Oh, you got plenty, man. That's a freaking gold mine.
It is.
Of content. Holy cow.
And just, you know, just trying to make every iteration and every episode a little bit better than the last one. And now that I have the time to dedicate again, I feel like I can put more effort into my show. I kept it going while we were doing, while I was doing ANTP. And I don't think it suffered, but I definitely wasn't able to dedicate as much time as I wanted to to it. So that's the other one, is just really focusing on that.
Good on you, man. Well, it's a lot of fun. And where can people reach you?
I am TV's Travis on just about any social media platform. Twitter is one that I use quite a bit. And then TV'sTravis.com is my website, which is basically where I host Wait, You Haven't Seen. Awesome. Because Wait, You Haven't Seen was a tough... and kind of horrible URL to get. So,
well, go check out all this stuff that Travis does. I hope to be on the show again at some point. There are other movies I haven't seen yet, so we'll see what happens.
Well, probably going to have you on here pretty soon because of something we talked about last week with one of our other contestant friends.
Yes, because I am so disappointed in him.
Oh, me too.
It's nice being on the other end of the disappointment. Well, so, again, yes. It was Travis Crawford. It's weird calling you Travis Crawford because you're known as TV's Travis all around the internet.
Yep, that's me. It's easier to remember TVs, Travis. So
yeah, and so thank you again for being on the show today. Best of luck to you.
Thanks.
Big thanks to TV's Travis for sharing more of his story of being on this show. I think that a great takeaway for any contestant coming out of here, yeah, you build a lot of skill sets, right? Like you're building collaborative skill sets, you're understanding the process of how to podcast, but really that production piece that he was talking about is huge. And I've taken away a lot of great production tips coming out of this show from season one that I took into my own shows. I'm glad to hear Travis talking about some of that on his own end, how he's leveling up his own podcasts. As a listener, if you have interest in this craft of podcasting, really take some notes. We've got some world-class podcasters on the judging end of things, the coaching end of things, the hosting, and even the contestants. I would say take note on some of these great pieces of feedback that you're hearing and take it into your own shows. Or if you have ideas for a show, take all that into consideration. It's really good stuff to keep in mind. If you'd like to reach us, you can email toppodcaster@gmail.com. This has been Alex Albizu filling in for Brian Ibbett on America's Next Top Podcaster, the special Diary of a Reality Competition podcasting contestant segment. We'll see you guys next time.